Listening Library presents Once Was Lost, written and read by Sarah Zarr.
Trouble is, I'm so exhausted. The plot, you see, I think I've lost it. I need the grace to find what can't be found. Over the Rhine, long lost brother. Day 1, Saturday, early August. The whole world is wilting, shriveling, giving up, dying. Maybe not the whole world. Somewhere, I guess, it's not 91 degrees at 4 in the morning. I would like to be in that place. I would like to be somewhere, anywhere, that life feels possible and not smothered under a layer of heat and hopelessness. I'm tired of waking up every 2 hours in a puddle of sweat. And tired of every day discovering there's something else that's ruined or broken or falling apart. Yesterday it was the TV. Today it's the ceiling fan in my room, the brokenness of which I discovered when I woke up wondering where the air went. I slipped out the sliding glass door into the backyard, hoping for a miracle of something below 80, and I now realize I can add the yard to the list of minor tragedies that make up my life these days. The solar luminaries my dad put in last summer give just enough light that I can see the disaster it's become in this heat wave. Except I can't completely blame the heat. Honestly, it's looked like this for a long time. Dad's momentary burst of involvement via the luminaries and also painting the lawn furniture was just that, momentary. For about 17 minutes last summer, our family worked the way it's supposed to. The problems with the yard are just a symptom, really. Everything out here reminds me of something. I can almost see the outline of my mom crouched at the base of the apple tree, mulching the roots, her blonde hair held back with a blue bandana, the curve of her neck, elegant. Even just a few months ago, when she was passing out drunk, she still had that elegance. Classy is the word for my mother. The clothesline strung up between a fence post and the metal eye bolt my dad screwed into the tree makes me think of the way he looked at her, laughing, when he said, "I can just imagine your undies flapping in the breeze on this thing, for all of Pineview to see. Your bra size will end up in the church newsletter if you're not careful." "That would be funny if it weren't true," my mom said. But she smiled too, and I know she liked it, Dad teasing her that way. "Dad," I said, acting embarrassed, "please." But I liked it too. That summer it wasn't too hot, and when the heat did climb, there was iced tea on the back porch, my parents playing cribbage together after the sun went down, the game board balanced on my mom's tan thighs, and my dad laying cards down on the arm of the chaise. None of that lasted long. Probably all my good memories of the last year add up to 3 days. I walk through the yard, making a mental checklist of what needs fixing. The two butterfly bushes have grown into each other and take over the spot where my mom once had an herb garden, back when she still cared about things like cooking. The Mexican sage has completely run amok. The hollyhock plant that looked okay a few weeks ago has fallen over from its own weight and lies across the flagstone path like a corpse. I step over to it, sweat trickling down the inside of my tank top and to the waistband of my pajama shorts. I try to get the hollyhock to stand up and stay up, but it flops back down over my bare feet. I'm glad my mother isn't around to see this. Instead, she's got the residence garden of New Beginnings Recovery Center, neatly xeriscaped with drought-resistant plants that never ask for more than you can give them. Her room is neat. The cafeteria is neat. The visiting area is neat. She's been lifted, as if by the hand of God, but in truth by the long arm of the law, out of this messy life. I could make this yard look like the one at New Beginnings. All it would take are some supplies, and time, and maybe a book from the library telling me how to do it. Then, when she comes home, she won't have to see the same dead and dying things that were here when she left. Ralph is hunkered down in the kitchen sink when I come in, cool porcelain all around him, and meows at me as if there's something I can do about the heat. I'd sit in the sink, too, if I fit. I lift him out and put him on the floor where he paces and meows and rubs his gray fur against my legs. There's no cat food. There's barely any people food. I tear a few pieces off a leftover rotisserie chicken in the back of the fridge and toss them on the floor for Ralph, then pull an envelope from the stack of mail on the counter and start a grocery list on the back of it. Soon I hear Dad up and moving around, and within a few minutes he appears under the archway to our open kitchen. I lift my head, and he's rumpled and sweaty, his thick hair sticking up every which way, and staring at me like he's thinking of how to form the words that will make whatever it is not sound so bad. "What?" I say. It's not a question because I know it's something. Every day it's something. "Bad news." I wait for it, thinking of some of the information that has recently followed that statement. Grandpa's surgery didn't go like we'd hoped. We're not sure if we can pay the tuition at Amberton Heights Academy next year. Your mother's been in an accident. "The air conditioner's on the blink," Dad says. "Of course." He reaches down to scratch Ralph's head. "At least I can't get it cranking. On the upside, the TV seems back in commission. I'm not sure how, but we're getting a picture again." "My ceiling fan isn't working either."
"You're kidding."
"No. And we need to buy groceries today." I hold up the envelope I've been writing on. "I'm making a list." He comes close, smelling like someone who lives in a house where there is no air, and takes the envelope, turning it over to look at the front. It's a bill of some sort. "When did this come?" He rips into it.
"I don't know.
The mail has been sitting here
for a while."
"Don't mess up my list." He pulls out the bill, looks at it for half a second, and stuffs it back into the envelope. "I guess I should go through all of this," he says, looking at the pile.
"Yeah.
There are a lot of things around here I can take care of. A lot of things I have been taking care of for a long time. But being 15 and unemployed, money isn't one of them." Dad searches through a pile of paper on the other end of the counter. "Doesn't your mom keep coupons around here somewhere?"
"Mom hasn't clipped coupons in at least 3 years," I say.
I know, because it was my job to sit at the counter with the Sunday paper while Dad was at church getting ready for the service. I'd scan the coupons and deals while Mom had her weekly anxiety attack about what to wear and what to make me wear. She hated Sundays. Eventually, I realized she wasn't even using the coupons, and I figured I'd be of more use helping Mom get dressed and ready and calm. "You look perfect," I'd assure her, and she always did. Dad, of course, was never here for any of that, so he has no idea. He stops rummaging through the papers and looks at me.
"Well, what is all this, then?"
"It's stuff from the last 4 months that she was scared to throw away. Old phone messages, flyers for events she was afraid she'd forget about, bank deposit slips. She used to like a neat house, everything in order, so the fact that she let that stuff pile up should have told Dad something. Obviously, he'd barely noticed the kitchen counter until right this moment."
"It's Mom's," I say, "just leave it."
"I don't want her coming home from rehab and feeling like we went through the house erasing her."
"Can we stop at the hardware store when we go out?" I ask. "I want to get some stuff for the yard."
"Maybe I can find the part for your ceiling fan and get that working." He stares at me in that meaningful, fatherly way I can't bear anymore, so I have no choice but to turn away and pretend to look in the fridge.
"What else do you have going on today?" he asks.
"Nothing." I move an almost empty carton of milk 2 inches to the right and close the door.
"Unless you want to start our driving lessons?"
He shakes his head.
"I can't today."
"I think you should make a plan. I think you should call Vanessa or Daniel. Get out of the house. Go see a movie in an air-conditioned theater."
"Maybe."
"Sammy, it's not a suggestion, okay?"
I nod.
We've discussed this, me being home alone too much. A habit I developed when I started to get afraid to leave Mom by herself. But she's not here now, so.
"I'm going to hop in the shower," he says.
I nod again and watch him walk away, through the airless living room and down the hall. Main Street in Pineview has exactly six knots.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?